Good morning. It's good to be with you once again, and it's good to finally be able to really break through the snow for a little bit. I mean, aren't you glad that we don't have any more snow, that it's just ice now? Isn't that... No. You get tired of hearing things over and over and over again. I'm pretty sure the weather report is one of those things right now that we're getting tired of hearing over and over and over again of that S word that we won't repeat anymore during this service. There's so many things that when you hear them, the more that you hear them, the more that they just become maybe just words going in one ear, out the other, the more that they just become things where when you hear them, they don't really hit home, they don't really stick. It's one of those things, Carolyn can attest to this. When I hear over and over, honey, put your boots away. Sweetheart, put your boots away. Put your boots away. Don't put your boots there. It becomes a point where it just comes one ear and out the other. And do you think anything changes? Doesn't really happen, so I'm sorry, sweetheart. But I hope that today, as we look at these things, we come to the end of 1 Thessalonians. And we see some things that we get told a bunch in Scripture. That we get told over and over. There's about five things that he lays out that we just get told in Scripture. And they're things that can seem almost basic. Almost things that as we read through, as we look through, we get to the end of this book, and there's been some awesome things that Paul has written, and we get to this point, and some of the things we hear them, and they just go in one ear and out the other. And we don't allow it the time to sink in, to settle in, to hit us hard. And to allow the change that God's word in a powerful way can do in our lives. So if we can, I just want to take a moment, if you would, bow your heads with me, and let's ask God to just take this time and make these words new once again in our hearts. Lord, we pray that today as we go through your Scripture, as we hear your words, Lord, let it not be just another day hearing more of the same, but Lord, help it to be today transforming words. Ones that hit not only our ears, not only that enter into our brains, but Lord, help it infect our hearts. Lord, make these words new to us once again. Lord, help us to give you glory, honor, and praise, and help us to allow you to take over our whole lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians, we are in the fifth chapter today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to start with the 12th verse. And these are some of the things that Paul lays out at the end of his letter to the Thessalonians that are important to him. In a way, you could say he saves the best for last. He lays out just one after another of these things that Paul says, hey, I want you guys to get these. As I'm leaving you, if there's something I have to leave you with, I want to leave you with these things. And so he says, starting in verse 12, he says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and everybody else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And so we get to this section of Scripture, and I don't know if you noticed the different things in there. I hope as you read through those, just go through it and see all the things that can just stick out, that can just hit in those little verses. The first thing, looking over this, is just to be active. Paul encourages the people that he's writing to, this church, to be active. And what he's talking about here, he isn't talking about some holy workout routine or even some sanctified and approved career choices. He says, what I want you to do, what I want you to do is be active. He says you don't have to do these certain things. You don't have to do these specific things. You don't have to have this career or that vocation, he says. But one thing that I want to remind you of is the value of hard work. He says in verse 12, acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. This year, I don't know how many times we've noticed it, but it's something that I just want to point out that should have done a few weeks ago. But every snowstorm, it seems like every Sunday, I've come to church, and I want to say a big thank you to Ray, Clayton, Sean, all the gentlemen who are out there shoveling snow. The work that you guys do is important. It's awesome. It's ways that God has gifted this church. And so we want to acknowledge those who work hard. There's so many others that work hard to make any of what goes on possible. The Sunday school teachers, the gentlemen who come in and clean the church on a weekly basis. I want to say thank you to all that are working hard to further the gospel. In verse 14, Paul says, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Back in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, Paul talks about living lives that we work hard with our hands so that our daily lives may win the respect of outsiders, so that you will not be dependent on anybody. You know, life today looks a lot different than life in the first century did. I think that just about goes without saying. I'm sure if we shook hands with Peter or Paul, or even if we were shaking Jesus' hands, it'd probably be like grabbing a chunk of limestone. Gold bond lotion wasn't a thing back then. And no matter what your job was, carpenter, fisherman, tent maker, even priests and rabbis, no matter what the job was, you were working hard with your hands to survive. Times have changed a little bit now, but the principle remains the same. As Christians, we're supposed to be building others up. We're supposed to be helping others out. We're supposed to be giving to others, and that only happens when we work hard and we do what we can do. We have a responsibility to represent Jesus in the work that we do, in whatever work that we do. And that will look different for different people. When we're told to work hard, when we're told to be active in our lives, it doesn't mean that we have to be working in hard labor jobs. It's a lot easier to see in some of those jobs, but it covers every vocation. Those who are out on the farm, they're working hard to make sure that their animals are taken care of the right way, that their farming practices, good stewardship for what God has given us. Those who are working on computers and IT work hard in ways that I never could, using God that gifts that God has given them to work numbers and programs, developing new products. People work hard in management to overlook groups and coordinate through problems that come up. Teachers and daycare providers work hard in developing young guys and gals to grow up to be young men and women that know truth. Law enforcement and emergency services help to keep us safe and healthy and maintain order in society. Stay-at-home wives and moms work hard to keep up and maintain loving homes. Students work hard to learn. All of these work hard, and they are called to be active in whatever vocation you choose. You're called to be active in the way that you work, in the way that you represent, in the way that you live your lives, so that you can bring honor to God and respect from others. Because what was happening here in these verses. As people were so caught up in things that they couldn't control. We see looking back that these were people that had some great things on their minds. They were sitting there thinking, Jesus promised that he'd be back. And where that turned to was people saying, hey, you know what? Jesus is going to be back soon, so therefore I'm going to quit my job. Retirement's coming early. And they sat there waiting for God, thinking Jesus is coming back soon. And we're encouraged to not be idle, not be sitting there, but to be active in our lives and to be working. And to recognize that whatever you do, it's for God. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And so the first thing here that Paul reminds the people of is to be active. The second thing that Paul encourages the Thessalonian church and as well as us today is to be peace-filled. He says it simply in verse 13. Live in peace with each other. It doesn't get any simpler than that, but if you need it again. He continues down in verse 15 where it says, make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. He expounds on it in Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 21, when he explains that this is one of the ways that love is truly seen, saying, bless those who persecute you. Bless those, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, it says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. What a way to live at peace there. But what he's saying is, love people. Love people that moves past what they have done to you. Live at peace with people when they want to be at war with you. Choose to forgive. We see that we could say a lot about this in the world today, but we have to remember that God commands us to love those who we don't see eye to eye with, to pray for those that are seen being against us. To remember that we are not to fight against people, but we are to fight against, as Ephesians 6:12 reminds us, our battle is against the rulers, against the authority, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Church, let's remember, right now in the political climate of our culture, our fight isn't against Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Donald Trump, Chuck Grassley, Lindsey Graham. Our fights are not against the left or the right. Let me remind you, our fight is not against your coworker who talks bad about you at the water cooler. Our fight is not against the neighbor who still hasn't shoveled their snow yet. Our fight isn't against parents that don't understand that you have a life, and our fight is not against your child who never cleans their room. Our fight is not against the people sitting with us or not sitting with us. Our fight is not against people. There's a much greater battle that's going on. We have to recognize that we have plenty to fight against when it comes to Satan. That we don't need to be fighting against our brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope and I pray that Martel Christian Church can be a place where we live at peace with one another. Doesn't mean it's going to be a place where we agree with one another 100%. Doesn't mean it's going to be a place where there's not discussions about one way versus the other way. But can we choose to live at peace with one another based on the love of Christ that's in our lives? Third thing that Paul lays out here, writing to the Thessalonian church, is he calls us to be joyful. It's a quick two-word verse. Paul says in verse 16, simply, rejoice always. He says it again in Philippians 4:4. Paul writes to the church, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Do you need to hear rejoice again? This idea may seem foreign to some. Let me remind you that joy is different than happiness. Does not say to be happy always. Again, I say be happy. It says rejoice. Rejoice always. Happiness is found in your specific situation. Joy is found in the Savior that opens us up to knowing that there's more than what this world holds. Look at what it says in Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Because this world can give us all sorts of things that we can look at, that we can see, and we can recognize that it doesn't make us very joyful. But when we fix our eyes on God, when we focus on the Lord, there is a reason to rejoice. Past the situations when we're focused on the Savior. Again, Paul keeps on coming. Another two-word verse comes up. Verse 17 reminds us that sometimes the shortest verses can pack the most powerful punch. He says, pray continually. Reminded to be prayerful people. prayer should be critical, central, and continual in our lives. We have a lifeline to be able to connect with our Father through prayer. How much do we take for granted the gift that prayer is? To have that ability to reach out to our Lord and our God, the Creator who gives us life and made everything around us, and we can go to Him with our worries, with our concerns. He's there to listen. He invites us into that. He says, cast your cares upon me. Give me your anxieties. It's because He cares for us. Because He loves us. So we're called to be in communication with God. How much more do we need to tap into that in our everyday lives? How much more do we need to reach out to our God? One of the last things that Paul really digs into said in verse 18. On a day like today, it's far too easy to maybe look at the things that aren't so grand, that aren't so happy. It's easy to see the clouds in the sky when it's rainy. It's a lot harder to see the blue sky above it. It's easier to see the snow on the grounds. A lot easier than it is to see the green grass that's beneath it. But it says in verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do you remember to be thankful in your everyday life? We sang the song earlier, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. I think we spend too much time thinking about whether the glass is half empty or half full instead of being thankful that there's water in the glass. Much to think of that, even that we're thankful for the glass that's there in the first place. One of the last things that Paul leaves the Thessalonian church with is to be thankful. When we read and we think of all the things that are asked of us, when we recognize all the things that are messed up about us, when we want more and we really find out that we know less and less than what we thought in the first place, we need to remember to be thankful. To be thankful for a hope that lasts into eternity and a Savior that loves us all the way to where we are today. That's something to be thankful for. Paul closes this letter before he encourages the people to be sharing his word with others, begging us to be filled with the Spirit of God. And when I was going through looking at the five different things that we see, being active, being peaceful, being joyful, being prayerful, and being thankful, thinking about how common all of those things seem to be in our lives, how common they seem to be in Scripture and in practices and in Christian circles. I got to thinking of this last area, where it says, do not quench the Spirit. And I think the sad thing, a lot of times in our walks with Christ, is God's Spirit can seem the most foreign of all. We can check off the lists. We can want to do it on our own. But how often do we ask to be filled by God's Spirit? I want us to think about when the last time that we truly asked God for His Spirit to be present in His life, in our life. Because when we look down this list, we can choose to be active, we can choose to be peace-filled, we can choose to be joyful and prayerful and thankful. But if we truly pray and we truly seek to be filled with God's Spirit, then this isn't going to be a list that we have to come back to all the time and think, okay, am I doing these? These are things that God's Spirit is going to work into our lives. Things that God's Spirit is going to remind us of. And one of the things that when Christ came, when He died and when He was the perfect sacrifice for us to be able to have that right relationship with God again, one of the biggest things in that was that He was able to give us His Spirit to live inside of us so that we can have a new life with Him. And can we never neglect the gift that is God's Spirit working inside of us? Can that never get old for us? Can we together take a moment? It's something we need in our lives. Can we ask for more of God's Spirit to be in us? Can we ask for God to take over more and more of our lives? Can we ask God to take more of our thoughts and our actions? Can we ask God to take over us with His Spirit? As we close, will you pray with me again? And if we come to this time and you want to talk about what it means to allow God to take over your life, I invite you to come as we sing next. But right now, let me bow our heads and pray. God, we ask for Your Spirit. God, we ask that You take over everything in our lives. God, that being thankful, being joyful, being peaceful, being active, being prayerful, God, that will all spring from what's truly inside of us. God, we pray that each of these things are not old, are not used. Lord, we pray that Your Spirit is evident in every part of our lives. God, as we look at your word and Your Scripture, as we see the ways that, God, You sent Your Son down for us, that we could be made new. And God, we pray that as we wait for Your coming, as we eagerly expect that You will come, that your promises will remain true. God, as we live lives that try to honor you, as we work to stay the course that you have called us to, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your love for others. Challenge us to be giving you each and every day all that we are. We love you. We thank you, God, for the ways that you move still today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.